I just hit record as quickly as I could because let me tell you some of the self-sabotaging thoughts I have at times is sometimes I want to do more of these core leader casts, but then I think, oh, they don't want to hear from you. Like they're sick of your opinion or, you know, you should do more interviews with other people on this cast, like just simple informal interviews or republish, like give them sneak peek content or whatever. But I hope you don't mind. I'd love any feedback you had. You can go to the contact page at leadingsaints.org/contact, and I'd love your feedback on these core casts. But anyways, one thought I had that sometimes I get these thoughts or have these experiences and they just sit with me for a time, and sometimes it's helpful just to get out this podcast recorder and just talk it through, right? Because I'm not exactly sure, like 100% certain on some of these thoughts, but we've talked about this before as far as of leaders coming off of callings, like being released from callings and the dynamics that go with that. There's a great article on Leading Saints about like what to know when you're released, or I forget the title of it, but, and you know, because people have shared with me how, you know, they go from being the most important person in the ward or quorum or release society, and then they're not, and obviously we're supposed to be okay with that, right? But there's this sort of high of leadership that President Uchtdorf has said, you know, just don't inhale, right? I think Elder Faust taught him that, but nonetheless, I think it is almost impossible to be in a leadership calling and not inhale some of that, like self validating feelings of like, I'm a leader, so I'm a big deal, or I'm a leader, so you know, it sort of becomes part of your identity, especially when you're in callings as long as 5 years, 6 years, 9 years, you know, as a stake presidency member. And I remember near the end of my time as a bishop, like, it felt so much part of my identity, and not necessarily in a bad way where I thought, you know, I'm the bishop, like I'm so cool or whatever, but it just felt like, man, like you get so involved in helping people, meeting with people, writing rent checks, like you take on this persona a little bit that it's hard to just rip that off when you're done overnight, right? When you're released. And then I'm trying to think which angle to take it with, but I had this conversation with, her name's Jordan, and I recorded an interview with her because she's a bishop's wife, and we have a bishop's wife episode coming out either this Sunday or the next one. And, but this is sort of after that we recorded, she told me about this therapist she went to, who works a lot with bishop's wives. And so I'm like, oh, that's intriguing. I need to reach out to her, and maybe that's a good potential interview in the future. But she mentioned that this therapist said that it's alarming the rate of moves that happen when somebody is released from a heavy leadership calling, right? And when she said that, I could suddenly think of a handful of people who've moved soon after being released. And I posed this question on the Helpers group, which it was interesting to see some of the feedback. You can go there and read it. But a lot of people said, which I would agree with, there's some individuals who they're just sort of putting off a move, right? Maybe they were planning to move before they were called, then they were called, and they thought, okay, well, I can hang out for a few years here and do what I've been asked to do, and then we'll move. So then the release comes, and of course, that's sort of in their plan and their agenda to move, and so they move, right? And then there's people who get a work transfer, or they have to move in the middle of their service, and they move, and obviously a release comes with that. But I'm mainly talking about those that have been released and then move soon after. So sure, there could have been a move that they were planning on. They had a next step plan that they put off, and then it just makes sense to do that. And I don't think it's a large majority by any means, but I know that there's some individuals who are probably released from their calling, and because this identity, the part of their persona, has been completely ripped away from them, they don't know how to reconcile it all. And so what they need is a big fat reset button. And the easiest way to do that is to move. And because I think my own experience, like obviously I was released from the state presidency because we needed to move. Like our home was just too small. We were in a condo. Our family was growing. We needed to move, and and we prayed about it. Obviously felt good about it. We needed to move closer to my daughter's school. We did that. So obviously there's those factors, but in hindsight, like it's almost been 2 years since I was released from the state presidency. It might have been three. I don't know. I'll blend together. But nonetheless, some decent time has passed. And there's just these aha moments or new perspectives that you gain once you separate yourself from some of those callings. And for me, like, I'm not saying this to be like, let's have a pathetic, you know, party for Kurt, you know. I'm not looking for like, man, I can't think, words aren't coming to my mouth, but you know what I mean. A pity party. I'm not looking for a pity party. But there's this time I just realized, like, I just don't have friends. And that sounds like so dramatic. And I do have friends, sure. But, and there's this great podcast, anyways, you'll have to search for it, but someone recommended it to me as far as like, men don't need friends, they need brothers, right? So I have friends, but ever since, when I was in leadership calling, I felt like I had brothers, you know? And now that I'm out of leadership, yeah, I've got friends, I got people I call or people I see from time to time, but rarely do I have brothers. Because obviously, let me describe this dynamic, and it's not news to you, but having a presidency meeting like we had in the state presidency or a bishopric meeting, having one weekly or sometimes multiple times a week where you get in a room with other individuals, oftentimes they're men, right? If you're in that, or if they're women, if you're in a female calling, you get in this room and you all come together and have a joint focus on something that actually matters, right? Even though it may not feel like it matters, or on paper, it seems like it doesn't matter, but to you, it feels like it matters. You know, planning the next primary program, or planning a ward activity, or planning, you know, the direction of the ward, or planning who we're going to call in this position, and not just like having a unified focus, but also involving the spirit there, being very intentional of having that experience be spiritual. So you start with a prayer. I know I did when I was in those positions. I'm sure everybody that's listening, you start a presidency meeting or a bishopric meeting with a prayer. Oftentimes there's a spiritual thought where somebody shares a part of their soul, right? Like, this is a deep belief, or this is an experience I had, right? And then all that goes away. And so I just had this feeling like a few years out, like, yeah, I've got friends, but I don't know if I have brothers anymore. You know, like, real intimate friends that I can get to and share my testimony from time to time. And of course, on paper, we have our elders quorum, we have our relief society, we have our ministering brothers and sisters, right? Like the model's there, but sometimes the substance is lacking. And there's a whole other angle to this. Maybe I'll record a podcast on that, but I don't want to diminish this perspective too much. But like, that's an aspect you just can't prepare for until you experience it. And now I'm realizing how much I need brothers in my life, you know, like true relationships of substance. And obviously I have a great relationship with my wife. It has a lot of substance to it, but brothers, you know, like, I don't think we were made to just have a spouse and have a deep relationship with a spouse and that's it. Like, we need deeper relationships. And sometimes quorums and wards do a very good job of facilitating that. And other times they just go through the motions, right? And so this is sort of where I'm at and trying to think through this is like, where do I go for deep connection with other men, with other Latter-day Saints? And I think, and again, I don't have the answer. Like, this is the part where, and let me give you the 3-step plan of how to do this, but this is just an aspect I've recognized in my experience with leadership, is that sure, everybody needs purpose, and sometimes people don't have purpose in their life, right? They're like a CPA 9-to-5. I always use the CPA example because I can't imagine a more boring life than being a CPA. No offense, CPAs, okay? It's just not me. But imagine if you're a CPA, you have a 9-to-5 job, you come home, and sometimes you have a hard time finding purpose because you're just crunching numbers all day. You don't feel like your work is contributing to a greater cause that's larger than you. And so a church calling, then you get called as the young men's president or in the bishopric, and you feel like there's something I go to every week, or I feel like I have dynamic purpose. So some people have purpose. For me, I don't really lack on purpose because I have the opportunity. And even today I was thinking about what this is such a remarkable blessing that on a Thursday at noon, I get to record an interview with a very dynamic individual who's done research on such a fascinating topic. Like, that's my job. Like, it is so cool. And obviously there's downsides to all that, which is for another podcast. But so I am full of purpose in my life. And I have a business coach. He's more of a life coach. But I told him, like, I have so much purpose in my life. Like, some people, I told, how do I say this? I said, so many people have a life, but they don't have no purpose in their life. Like, I have so much purpose that sometimes I'm looking for a life to have. Like, I just want to be able to pay the bills and get my buy my kids shoes and these things. Not that we're dirt poor, but the purpose is kind of made things stretch there. But the point being is, like, some people see, like, that calling fulfills in them is purpose, and they find purpose there. And then when that persona is ripped away, they sort of flounder for a time because they don't have purpose. Where I haven't necessarily experienced that because I've been intentional with creating a life of purpose. But for me, it's that brotherhood. It's that getting together with individuals and sharing of each other's soul. And so that's where I'm in the midst of trying to find out how to establish that. And, you know, these Wild at Heart boot camps have been really good. In fact, if I have a brother, his name's Steve, and he's coming over tonight. And I may interview him for this for the CoreCast, so you stop getting my voice. But the brotherhood. And so I'm excited to have Steve come over because he truly is a brother. Like, I share a part of my soul with him every time we get together. We have deep conversations. We share testimony with each other. You know, it's not, you know, I know the church is true, but, you know, like, we share a part of us with each other through great conversation and perspectives and the mutual respect and love we have for each other. And so I'm excited to have Steve and his wife come over and hang out with our family, and that's brotherhood. But this is an angle that we just need to be more aware of. If you're a new bishop and there's an outgoing bishop or an outgoing stake president, like, there's some ministering to be done there. They have not arrived, and nor should we congratulate them on, hey, isn't it great that you don't have to deal with all this responsibility? When in reality, that responsibility gave them so much purpose and so much brotherhood. So maybe today, send a text to your previous bishop or some elders in your quorum who need brotherhood, because that's an area I'm working on in my life, that I truly need connection through brotherhood outside of my formal legal relationships, right? Brotherhood is what we need, and I miss that for my time as a leader.